Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole. Available on iTunes, on Audioboom, wherever podcasts are found, and also part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and we are continuing season previews positionally here on Locked On Pelicans Day. Yesterday, covered the guards, dove deep on Rondo, Holiday, their pairing, what roles you should expect from some of the other guys in that rotation. And today, we're moving on to the wings, and it's perfect timing for this because the final piece, more or less, of the Pelicans roster was signed to a deal yesterday. Dante Cunningham going to be back here in New Orleans with the Pelicans on a one-year deal, $2.3 million. I'm going to dive into his role, what it means now. What about Darius Miller? And is there any other depth there at the wing position? This is the problem that everyone has with this Pelicans team. Most think they can get by without shooters or the shooters that they have because there are some decent guys with good percentages here. But the joke is, how do Pelicans fly with no wings? And when Solomon Hill went down and he's the best wing that the team had and is 7 points per game, though defensively he was very important for this club, you know, that's a big issue. There's a lack of depth there. There's no real elite playmaking on the wing, no real good offensive threats there. And they're all adequate and okay, good enough defensively, but that might not be able to get it done in this modern NBA that relies on athletic wings on the perimeter to drive or shoot or do a combination of both. And that's something that the Pelicans have lacked. So I'm going to dive deep on that position today for you in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So let's just jump right into everything here. And let's start with the obvious kind. It's not really an elephant in the room. It's what happened. And that's a Solomon Hill injury, likely out until after January, maybe after the trade deadline sometime in February. And, you know, this was a big issue for the Pelicans with Dante Cunningham at the time unsigned. Solomon Hill was kind of key to this team defensively last season with his ability to guard twos, threes, and fours. And, you know, that versatility allowed this Pelicans switching scheme to work very well. And also, if you remember the period leading up to the All-Star break, the big thing was all of a sudden they were going small. And Solomon Hill was playing the three for the Pelicans with Dante Cunningham at the four and Davis at the five. And that worked really well defensively. That stretch, they were a monster because they could cover pretty much anybody and anything while playing out and getting, you know, running in transition and playing fast and loose and getting that kind of Alvin Gentry style of ball that they wanted to do. Solomon Hill offensively didn't translate over very well and, you know, build off of the offseason contract he received in his playoff run with the Pacers the year before. He averaged 7 points per game. It's fewer than what Tony Allen averaged last season, and no one thinks Tony Allen is good offensively. Solomon Hill did this in about 30 minutes per game last year. So, you know, it's an interesting situation because you have this guy who's not great offensively but is very good defensively, and you kind of need to find a way to get him in because you need that defense and you got to get some offense out of him just to keep defenses honest. And it was going to be a problem for the Pels this year, particularly with Rondo in the starting lineup because you have a lack of shooting from both those positions now. But the hope was there that Solomon Hill might kind of turn a corner because he did play much better after the DeMarcus Cousins trade. And largely that's probably due to the court gravity that Cousins has. He's required an extra defender, or at least you to sag off of someone to kind of help on him a little bit more, leaving Solomon Hill open for threes, which we know he didn't do particularly well last year. He shot 38 34.8% from deep on 3.4 attempts. Not great. It's not horrible either, but certainly not good and not good enough for what the Pels needed. But after the trade, he was cutting around more. He was getting open more, and you could see him kind of finding his role working off ball. And that's what this Pelicans team needs, is off ball movement to force defenses to adjust, to get them to rotate, to make life just easier for, you know, the two bigs in Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. So that's where this really hurts. However, again, he just didn't play well on offense, and so maybe they needed to go a different direction. And at the time, it looks like this was going to be a worse situation because Dante Cunningham was unsigned and they hadn't re-signed him yet. But that all changed yesterday. So Cunningham re-signed to a one-year, $2.3 million deal, which is about $200,000 more than his veteran minimum deal. And according to Scott Kushner of the New Orleans Advocate, friend of mine, friend of the show here, it sounds like he had four offers on the table and ended up choosing the Pelicans due to familiarity with the team and his teammates. And, I mean, it makes sense. And if everything and all things considered, let's just talk about the signing before, his role and what he's going to be asked to do here. You know, if every other team was signing, attempting to sign him for the vet min, and the Pels tried, it could give him a little bit more. And don't forget, he opted out of, you know, $3.1 million, somewhere around that dollar player option. Giving him a little bit more financial incentive to return was certainly a good thing, because after that Solomon Hill injury, while Dante Cunningham's not a tremendous or great player, I'm knocking literally everything over on my table here as I record this, so sorry for the noises. Though he's not a great player, you could give him a little bit more. You know, you need to kind of maybe put him into the starting lineup, and that's where we're going to look at him, because I do believe now that Dante Cunningham's in the fold, he's going to be the starter for this Pelicans team and see significant minutes. He was hurt for part of last season, but I think, you know, certainly he's going to get more than his 25 minutes per game average last year. And in 25 minutes, he averaged 6.6 points per game, along with four rebounds. And he actually led the team in three-point percentage of guys who were on the team for more than 10 games or so. So he shot 39.2% last year, but it's on low volume, 2.7 attempts per game. That number is going to need to rise dramatically for him this year, more than that 2.7. Part of that is, on 2.7 attempts per game, most defenses will still sag off of you. You're not going to force the defense to adjust and account for you in the corner to be that anchor in space of the court, because they know you just don't shoot it all that often. Even open, they're going to know that. 2.7 attempts per game, he, you know, had tons of open looks from that and didn't shoot it very often, would pass or drive at times because he's not quite confident in his shot, comfortable with his shot, and that's kind of what leads to it. The reason you're going to start him is not because of that, or it's not because of the 39.2%. It's because of defensively what he can do. And he can do a lot of what Solomon Hill did, and that's on those 3-4 switches. When he's guarding a small forward, he can switch onto a big. He played power forward a lot for the Pelicans last year in that small lineup and as a big off the bench after DeMarcus Cousins was traded here. That's important. I've said I worry about a three-guard lineup a little bit because you've got to wonder how Tony Allen or Etuan Moore are going to be able to do if they get switched onto a power forward. I'm not as worried about them guarding small forwards. It's more that power forward spot. That's a concern. Now, Cunningham, who last year, according to basketball-reference.com, and this is not an exact science or exact numbers or anything here, played power forward 78% of the time and was it small forward 21% of the time. So it shows you he can switch onto those twos, or not on twos, onto fours. He's better as a four, yes. But with his size being what it is and at least decent enough athleticism, he's 6'8". He can cover most power small forwards size-wise. He's got kind of an advantage there at times. He hustles. He's got a high-energy motor. That's good to try and take away some of those threes in the league that you need to worry about it. And there's also only about 10 to 12 threes that are just going to burn everyone they play. Cunningham will be serviceable on most of them, and then in a switch situation, he's just fine and comfortable playing on a four as well. That's what gives me a lot of hope here. Rebounding, he's not great defensively or offensively, but his life's going to be a whole lot easier now that he's likely going to be paired with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. He'll have a rebounding advantage at times in that. And frankly, if he can shoot more threes and at least space the court a little bit, because teams, especially if he establishes himself as a three-point threat or a guy willing to launch threes early on and starts making them, not necessarily at 39.2%, but even if it's 37% or so, defenses will need to account for him, and he will eventually start spacing the court for Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. Yesterday, I told you to make sure you subscribe and listen to the Locked On NBA podcast to kind of get an overview of what's going on around the league, the biggest storylines. But don't forget, there's a podcast for every single team in the NBA and NFL as part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Now is the time, just tune in to the Locked On Memphis, the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, the Locked On Spurs, Locked On Rockets, and Locked On Mavs, and get an idea of what's going on in the division. You know, I'll start doing some division previews over the next, and team previews over the next couple of days and weeks here. But they know and go deep dive on every one of those teams. And that's important. It's kind of know your opponent here. So if you want to know more about the NBA Southwest Division, certainly give a listen to any of those as part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
So now that we've gone past Solomon Hill and Dante Cunningham, who I assume is going to be the likely starter for a number of reasons that I just laid out, the next guy on this team that's got the depth at the wing position is Darius Miller, and this is a really interesting situation. Darius Miller, if you'll remember, and I talked about him on a podcast episode a couple of weeks ago, was drafted in the second round, the same draft that Anthony Davis came to New Orleans in. They were teammates at Kentucky, and the Pels did everything to just like hand him the starting small forward spot, and he was just never able to take charge and grasp it and become the starter that the Pelicans hoped he would be. And eventually it ended up with him going to Europe and playing for Brose Bamberg last year in Germany and in the Euro League, where he excelled before coming back to the NBA, where supposedly he had a number of offers on the table, but chose the Pelicans and also helped. They gave him a little bit more money than those other teams would as well. And if you look at the numbers for Germany, particularly in the Euro League, where they, you know, went far, and not only that, were playing against the top competition, he played very well. In EuroLeague last year, he averaged 12.2 points per game, and this is on 41.1% shooting from three on five attempts per game. Those are excellent numbers. And, you know, the German numbers are pretty much in the German league, very much the same thing. I believe he was MVP there. You know, the shooting numbers are what jump out to you, and you wonder if he could be a court spacer for this team. But don't forget that the European three-point line is shorter than the NBA three-point line. So after taking a ton of shots last season from deep, muscle memory might be off, things like that. That can throw you off when you translate to the NBA game. That's why you see a lot of really good rookie three-point shooters in college struggle in the beginning, particularly someone like Buddy Hield, who did that. They're just not used to that different line and all of that. So it's an interesting thing to try and measure and see what he's going to be able to do. You know, he has good size. He's 6'8 as well, and has decent athleticism. Again, he's kind of an unknown. I don't know if he's going to be able to play top-notch defense against NBA wings, but certainly the shooting should hopefully at least be there so he can provide you one thing. Doesn't do anything else particularly well. Doesn't really get to the free throw line or anything like that. So even if he's just a court spacer off the bench that provides some wing depth, that's valuable. And you have to feel better that he's no longer likely going to be the starter for the Pelicans, at least in the beginning. Maybe he plays well and steps into that role eventually. But now I don't hate having him as wing depth and some insurance and taking a chance on a guy as opposed to being the full-time starter. That was going to be a concern. Now he can play against lesser roles, against bench players, and maybe be able to shine a little bit more and play well. Whereas before going against starters, you had to figure this might not work too well. So it's nice to see, certainly, that he's going to be able to come in and try this out, and hopefully he can shoot. And it's on a one-year deal. He's cheap. There's kind of no harm in this type of situation because there really wasn't anyone else out there that the Pelicans might try and sign. So moving past Darius Miller and the unknown he brings are other guys that the Pels have given training camp deals to that are likely not really going to make the team or be factors in whatsoever. And that's Martell Webster and Perry Jones III. Martell Webster, you know, both these guys have been out of the league for a little bit now. Martell Webster hasn't played in, I'm typing this in right now to like try and look him up. But, you know, these guys were brought in basically two training camp deals before this Cunningham contract was signed. So basically, the way they were looking at it was if Cunningham didn't sign this deal, they were going to invite maybe another guy or two to training camp and basically let four or five guys kind of fight it out for that final roster spot to maybe get some minutes in this wing / small forward rotation. Martell Webster is one of the guys. He's got, you know, not horrible career numbers. In certain things, he's a career 38.2% three-point shooter. That's not bad. You know, he's got averages of 8.7 points per game career. You know, he can grab occasional rebounds, different things like that. So, you know, potentially could have been a court spacer guy trying to make a comeback in the league, but it just didn't work out, obviously, for him currently. And, like, he's just not really a full-on NBA player now. But for a team as desperate as the Pelicans were before, again, the Dante Cunningham signing, then it doesn't look as bad to just give him a shot on a, you know, minimum deal and then maybe cut him once Solomon Hill comes back. But now with Dante making the team, he's not likely going to be here whatsoever. Perry Jones III is another guy. He was drafted the same year that Anthony Davis came out of the draft as well. He went 28th overall. And I freaking loved this dude out of Baylor. He's 6'11". He kind of just did everything. He could play small forward. He could play power forward for you a little bit, and potentially center with that height, though he's more of kind of a wing stretch four type guy. And he just wasn't good, frankly. I was so wrong on this one. His career averages 3.4 points per game in three seasons. He hasn't played since the 2014-2015 season with OKC. Has not shot well from three his entire career, even on limited shot attempts. Doesn't really grab rebounds, just didn't do anything well, frankly, and it's a shame. You know, had a lot of tools and potential and just never worked out. You know, on a training camp guy who might be hungry, if he plays well in preseason, maybe you give him a shot to earn some minutes, given how cheap he's going to be. But ultimately, again, with Dante Cunningham, it just kind of pushes him right out the window, and don't expect Perry Jones III to be on the team when the regular season starts. And finally, when it comes to the wing position and kind of depth there, don't forget this team might trot out, and I say might because I don't think it's certain yet, and I don't think this is exactly what the Pelicans want, might trot out a three-guard lineup at times. And I think you might see a lineup of Rondo, Tony Allen, and Drew Holiday, or Rondo, Moore, and Holiday out there to help defend. And, you know, it adds some versatility to this Pelicans team because they can defend multiple looks. They can defend against bigger lineups with Cunningham out there. They can defend smaller ones with Tony Allen or Etuan Moore. They can also try and get out there and run a little bit with Etuan Moore and Tony Allen, both guys who can zip around a little bit and work kind of well off ball, whereas Cunningham's more of a spot up shooter, doesn't cut and, you know, focus on that as much. So also, you know, just because they're thin on the wing with really only Dante Cunningham and Darius Miller, there's other ways to kind of compensate for that. And I don't think three-guard lineups are going to work very often for this Pelicans team. I think they can handle against some of the league. I'm not as high on this idea as others are. But also, it doesn't sound like Alvin Gentry wants this as well. He's been on the radio a couple times doing different interviews saying he wanted to bring in someone bigger, taller, because he didn't fully trust and like what he was going to potentially see from a three-guard lineup, even if Etuan Moore was out there. Again, he's 6'4". He has a 6'9 wingspan, but he's 6'4". The wingspan isn't going to help you that much there. You still need to have just height in general to make up for their height. You know, if the other guy's 6'8", they're going to have a bigger wingspan than 6'9". Simple as that. So I don't think you're going to see three-guard lineups all that often, but you could potentially run it out there depending on the team you're facing. So now the Pelicans can adapt a little bit easier to their opponents and also force opponents to adapt to them at times, which I think is something you haven't seen this Pelicans team be able to do all that often over the past couple of years. So I've gone over the guys and the way this might work. So, you know, taking a look at the minutes and everything here in the rotation, I think you're going to see Dante Cunningham kind of bumped up this year for the Pelicans in his role. He averaged, 25 minutes per game last season. I think he jumps up 5 minutes more per game to about 30 and takes that Solomon Hill starting spot. And then, you know, all of a sudden you're left with basically another 25 minutes you need to give out. I wouldn't be shocked if 15 of those go to Darius Miller and he gets a chance to really be a contributor. Don't forget the Pels paid him more than the vet min because he had other suitors out there and basically hard capped themselves to sign him. And they were high on him and they still are, maybe irrationally so. And they see something that the rest of us don't, given he hasn't been in the league in 2 years. But they are very high on him. Look for him to get about 15 minutes a game to start and then maybe about 10 minutes or so per game in a three guard lineup or something, some other combination of things. To really see if this team kind of, you know, can work in that capacity. But I don't think a three-guard lineup is the way they want to go with it. So I think you see, like I said, Dante Cunningham playing about 30 minutes per game in that starting three spot. He's able to defend fours as well on switches. You can keep kind of that continuity and everything you want there with the defense and hopefully propel them to another top 10 ranking. Then you got Darius Miller coming in to help space the court, be some, you know, maybe offense off the bench. You know, where they'll sub out, I'm not entirely sure. You have to figure Rondo's probably going to be the first sub out of the starting lineup, and then you would imagine Dante Cunningham might be next to bring in Darius Miller for some more shooting or potentially for another guard and go with the three-guard lineup there and then kind of put more shooting with Darius Miller when Cousins or Davis come off the floor next and you're left with one of the bigs. That's like kind of my early inclination on the rotation, but hopefully we'll find some more out at Media Day, which is coming up very soon next Monday. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans, going over the wing position for you. Again, yesterday was the guards. Tomorrow's going to be the front court and the bigs. We know all about Davis. We know all about Cousins. But I want to dive a little bit more in onto the different offenses that they might run with those two guys on the court. Don't forget, Chris Finch was brought in from Denver. And there's some pretty high hopes here for what he'll be able to accomplish and see if he can get the most out of DeMarcus Cousins. And that point boogie sounds really fun, and I'm excited to watch it. So we'll go over the bigs. Who's going to be the third big off the bench? Is it going to be Ajinsa or Diallo? Does Oshik have sort of any type of playing time future here in the league? All that and more on tomorrow's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So thank you all for listening today. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. I'll probably have an article up on Facebook in a day or so, maybe tomorrow or maybe today by the time you're listening to this. I'm not sure yet. Got to check my schedule. It's been kind of hectic this week. But thank you all for listening. Again, I'm Jake Madison at Nola Jake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.